Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith-Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the discipleship here at Faith Covenant Church. I want to remind you to make sure you hit the subscribe button or leave a review just to let us know how we're doing. And subscribing makes sure that you don't miss any of our episodes that come out every other week. So right now, we're heading into a season of Lent, and that's actually starting on Ash Wednesday, which is the day that this episode is released. And so today, to have a conversation about Lent and what all of that means, I'm joined with our Care and Connect pastor, Pastor Shar. Thanks
for joining
us.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's been not too long since we've had you on the podcast.
Right, We talked about your sabbatical last time. Now I'm fully back.
Yeah. Her mind's back in the game. As long as it's 7 a.m. or later.
Yes, please.
We were just talking about how anything earlier than 7 is too early for anything except sleep. So anyway, we're talking about Lent today because it's that time of year. And it's actually kind of a later start. Usually Lent starts in like February-ish. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other story. We're not going to go into that.
Right.
But can you just give us a little bit of synopsis of what Lent is? Like, I don't remember seeing Lent in the Bible. So what is Lent? Is it from the Bible?
Right. Lent is not in the Bible. It's in early church tradition. The early Christians use that. It's a season that precedes Easter. So we'll start with that. It's 6 weeks before, 6 weeks plus before Easter. And historically, in early Christian tradition, it was a time for people to prepare for baptism.
Okay.
So that's what it was used for. And then baptisms happened and new life was celebrated.
And those baptisms were usually conducted on Easter Sunday. And so, yeah, so Lent is the 40 days prior to Easter, excluding weekends.
Right. It is more than 40 days. If you count starting this coming Wednesday to April 20th, you'll get a number greater than 40.
So exclude the weekends.
Yeah.
That's how we get the time frame of Lent. And different traditions will count things differently. Some regard Lent as ending on Maundy Thursday, the day before Good Friday. Some regard it as ending on Good Friday. So you'll see some variation if you start digging into it. So.
Yeah. And Maundy Thursday, of course, is the day of the Last Supper, the day before the crucifixion.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's lots of traditional church dates to kind of keep track of. And so Lent is not in the Bible. So do we have to practice Lent then if it's not in the Bible?
No. There's no rule about, I mean, we all walk through the season that the Christian church calls Lent, whether or not we, not every Christian church acknowledges it. The church, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and we had soup suppers and a church service every Wednesday night. So that was our Lent. It was an extra gathering of the church during that season. But not every church does that. Not every tradition or denomination acknowledges the season of Lent. Lent happens in the Christian church every year, whether or not it's acknowledged by churches or an individual. It's not a salvific thing. It's not essential, but it's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so another way of saying it might be that we don't have to, but we get to.
Yeah, we get to. Yeah.
So how are some of the ways that individual Christians or churches or denominations practice Lent?
That varies really widely from not at all to weekly midweek services to Sunday mornings looking different to a lot of encouragement for congregants to fast from something or to read something or add something to their schedule or to their days. It varies greatly.
So I know, like, growing up, a lot of my classmates, particularly from Catholic traditions, would be giving up meat on certain days. I know a lot of churches emphasize, oh, what are you giving up for Lent?
Yeah.
And so, some of my peers, like in elementary school, would be like, oh, I'm giving up pop for Lent, or I'm giving up candy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that as a practice of giving up something, of fasting from something?
Yeah, well, that's biblical. Yeah, fasting absolutely is definitely biblical. And if the fasting is done for a spiritual reason or a reason that honors God, that's fantastic. It doesn't matter what you, I mean, you don't have to give anything up, and it doesn't matter what you do. But the purpose of fasting or giving something up is that when you miss that thing that you've fasted from, you're to turn to God in prayer and spend time with God and endure a little bit of suffering. Some people give up caffeine. Well, there's a bit of, if you are used to coffee every morning, there's some physical ramifications to giving up coffee for most, I would say, depending on how much coffee you drink in the morning. So there's a bit of suffering there. Now, giving up chocolate, there might be a craving for the taste of it, but it's not a physical suffering. But but the idea then is that when you are missing that thing, that's a bit of suffering. And then you remember the suffering of Christ and you submit your suffering to that and you spend time in prayer. That's not how a lot of culture uses it. It's some people use the fasting as a chance to lose weight or something else, get rid of a habit that's not healthy for their personal physical benefit. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't say that's Lenten fasting.
Yeah. So Lenten fasting is more something that points us towards God.
Yeah.
And some of it, too, I think, can be creating space for God. So, you know, I may have a habit of being on social media too much, and so fasting from that, I mean, it may be a healthy way of breaking an unhealthy habit.
Right.
But it can also, if I'm, you know, getting back a certain chunk of time in my day that would otherwise be spent doing that, then that's time that hopefully I can spend, you know, doing, you know, either time in prayer, time in scripture, or time serving people in some way.
Yeah, because that's the other, the flip side of fasting where you give something up or you release something or say no to something. The opposite of that, which a lot of people do during Lent too, is adding something.
Yeah.
So adding a spiritual practice, adding more time in prayer, adding the reading of a devotional book every morning, adding a set quiet time or something, adding something to your day for 40 days that brings you, or 40 whatever days, that brings you closer to God and draws you in,
Yeah. And so there's a lot, I mean, fasting is probably the Lenten practice that gets talked about the most.
Yeah.
Traditionally, other practices have included almsgiving or giving to the poor in some way. Repentance, which is sometimes a part of fasting, a lot of things like that that are ways of practicing Lent. So there's a lot of ways to practice Lent.
Yeah. And the why is, well, we start with that on Ash Wednesday where we remember that from dust we are and to dust we will return. Really the goal of Lent is to fix our eyes on Christ and prepare ourselves to really receive Easter weekend, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the fact that God is God and we are not and that we are sinful and he needed to die for our salvation. Like there's no other way. There's no, we are not worthy on our, I mean, we are worthy in God's eyes, but we're not able to earn our way, earn our salvation. So the cross was necessary. And unless we acknowledge that it was necessary for me, then, you know, Easter can come and go with an Easter egg hunt and bunnies and chocolate, you know, and
a new dress that you gave up.
Right. That you now get to eat and new dresses for Easter Sunday. And, you know, those things can take over if we haven't spent time preparing.
I've never had a new dress for Easter. So we talked a little bit about the why of practicing Lent, of preparing for Easter. It sounds like it's maybe kind of a very somber and sober time. Can you go too far with it of spending too much time thinking about sin? Is that a thing that's possible?
I suppose it would be possible. I mean, it's healthy to acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner, but you can't go so far as to say I am not worthy because we are worthy. And that's why Christ died, because we are so worthy. We are worthy of the suffering that Christ endured willingly because he loves us, because we are that worthy. So that's a reminder. We can't completely suspend that from the picture of who we are because we are worthy in God's eyes.
Yeah.
And the humility, when you really think about that, like, I know I'm sinful. My husband knows that I'm sinful. and so I know that. I just lost my train of thought.
Being worthy in God's eyes.
And yeah, I know I'm worthy, and yet Christ died for me. And that's a humbling thing that even if it was just me, Jesus would have died. Even if it was just you, Jesus would have died. Mm-hmm. And that is sobering.
Yeah.
But it's also super encouraging.
Yeah.
And just stabilizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's suddenly, as we talk about this, just striking me that two of the most talked about seasons in the church calendar are seasons of waiting. Because in Advent, it's kind of a season of preparation and waiting for the birth of Christ and the arrival of Christ. And that has some of its own practices associated with Advent. Yeah. And then in Lent, again, we're kind of waiting. We're acknowledging our sin and waiting for a Savior to bring us out of that and to make us worthy and to save us from that.
Yeah.
So both are periods of waiting, which is
really
interesting.
Yeah. And that's a great point. It's hard for us to really understand that because we live on this side of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But people who lived in Jesus' day or before, which was a lot of people, they didn't know
what they were waiting for.
Yeah. They didn't know what it would look like. They didn't understand what was about to happen, either tomorrow or in however many years, depending, on when they lived. But we're kind of asked during Lent too to suspend, especially on Good Friday, to suspend our knowledge of the resurrection and experience the longing and
the grief.
The grief, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's something that we kind of gloss over if we don't practice Lent in some way, is we are supposed to grieve our sin.
Yeah.
Not stay in it forever, because we do get to experience God's forgiveness, but what does it mean to you to grieve sin?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question for us to wrestle with. What does it mean to really sit with our sin and grieve it?
Yeah.
That's not something we're really trained well to do in the American church.
Right, to acknowledge grief. I had a spiritual director a few years ago who I was sharing something that was difficult with her, and she said, let's close today a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to close. I just want you to just sit and grieve with God.
Mm.
And I thought, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Nobody wants to grieve.
Horrible. I didn't want to just sit and grieve before God. But it was profound. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
God met me in a very tangible, very specific way in that moment. And I wouldn't have probably done that on my own. So Lent also offers an opportunity, as you were saying, to do that, to grieve.
Because grieving is a thing that God does.
Yeah.
Like God grieves our sin. God grieves the losses that we grieve.
Yeah.
He
grieved the coming cross too.
And I just realized we're saying the word grieve a lot, and I think we understand the word grief a lot, but how would you define grieving or grief?
It's more than an acknowledgement of loss. It's a walking through loss, experiencing loss, allowing yourself to feel something that's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How would you?
I like what you said about walking through it and acknowledging it, because one way of dealing with sorrow or loss, whether that's a job loss or loss of a loved one or loss of a dream, of a home, of a state of health, you can deal with the pain of those losses or those sorrows by ignoring it, which is not healthy, because that pain will still be there. So I think grief is working through pain in an intentional way that acknowledges the pain, that sits with the pain, deals with the pain, and works through it. It's a proactive healing, I think, of acknowledging and really acknowledging what has been lost or damaged or changed.
Acknowledging God's presence with us in the midst of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not have to be afraid, because you are with me. So God walks with us in our grief.
Yeah. So then kind of the last two questions that kind of go together, I guess, that I have. But what happens if you don't practice Lent? Like, we've already said, it's not a salvational issue, so it's not like, oh, you're a bad Christian if you don't practice Lent on some level. But then that kind of leads to the deeper question, what is Easter, the death and resurrection of Christ, if you don't practice Lent? What are you missing out on?
Well, I think it can become a given or something that we take for granted. We just assume that God saved us and then we don't need to do anything or make any changes or acknowledge that or live any differently or confront our sin. I mean, we just get to skate through life taking Jesus for granted.
Yeah.
And I think that's really sad. And it cheapens the cross.
Yeah.
We're not grateful because we just, of course we are deserving. Of course we have this gift given and we're not grateful. And then Easter can also just become the new dresses and the family gathering and the ham dinner and the Easter egg hunt and all of that. And those are fun things. Like Santa,
those are ways to celebrate what Christ has done.
Right. Just like Santa and presents and decorations are part of the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. But if that's all Christmas is, well,
you've missed something.
You've missed everything. Yeah.
You've missed everything.
I mean, you've gotten some fun cultural things that are fun, and especially for families and kids. So those things we're not saying those are bad or sacrilegious.
They're just not the point.
They're not the point. Yeah. Yeah. So you miss out on the preparation. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't spend time with that grieving of sin and that acknowledgement of sin, then you don't really understand why Easter is necessary.
Right.
And if you don't understand why Easter is necessary, then how much can you really celebrate it?
Right.
So to kind of get to this high of celebration of Easter, you have to understand the low of it.
Right. Yeah, that is something that... it's a reality in our country that makes me sad that our churches are full on Easter Sunday, typically more full than a given Sunday.
Yeah.
But our Good Friday services are very small, typically. Yeah. And in my mind, it is one weekend. It is one. Both are equal parts of Easter. It's just like if you don't celebrate Lent, Easter is cheapened, Easter Sunday. Well, I would say if you don't celebrate Good Friday or acknowledge Good Friday, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just come for the good news. You just come for the celebration and you haven't sat in the grief. You haven't really realized the need for Easter Sunday if you haven't been here on Good Friday, which is a sobering, somber, difficult, it's not a fun service, but it's deeply meaningful and it makes Sunday good news. The fact that there wouldn't be good news if they're on Sunday, Easter Sunday, if there wasn't Good Friday. I mean, Jesus didn't just raise from the dead. He died.
Yeah.
And he suffered terribly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't acknowledge that. So I think Easter isn't just Easter Sunday. It's Easter weekend. It's Friday and Sunday both. I would love to see our churches with same numbers on Good Friday as we have on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the same numbers every other Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, and really, I mean, historically, traditionally, the church has done Holy Week, not just Good Friday and Easter. The whole week has been an important act of remembrance, you know, starting with Palm Sunday, you know, celebrating Jesus coming into Jerusalem, being hailed as Messiah and King, and the abrupt transition then Monday, Thursday to Good Friday.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole week.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. That's our soapbox for today.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts about Lent and the importance of practicing Lent?
I encourage you, if you've never done anything different, if you've never added or subtracted anything from your days during Lent, do it this year. And I promise that the Easter weekend... Not Easter Sunday, Easter weekend will feel differently. We have, and we'll share these with you, we have some recommendations from the pastoral staff that that we'll give to you of some books to read, some resources there that are good, devotional, thoughtful intentional books. And if you have questions about idea, like looking for suggestions on what you might add or subtract, we'd love to chat with you about that. For the third year in a row now, I'm going to start my Lenten days with 20 minutes of centering prayer, which is just silence. And that's really, I look forward to that. I don't know why I don't do it every day, but I do it during Lent. Yeah. And I look forward to it. It's become something that I kind of crave because it's not my typical. It forces me to slow down. It forces me to be quiet. And it forces me to listen and hear. But we'd love to chat with you. You can reach out to Kevin or myself or Brad. And we would love to have a conversation with you about Lent. So our encouragement is just try something.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
Give something up. I don't care what it is. We don't care what it is. As long as it's meaningful and it points you to Jesus and frees up space.
When as you were talking, I was just in a recent year, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, I gave up social media during Lent. And it was interesting because I realized how I just was dependent on it, not in a way of like making me feel good or like rushing endorphins or whatever, the brain chemistry that it does. Those are real things. But just realizing how much time I spent on that. And I just kind of realized if I'm spending this much time on this, I can spend that much time on God.
Yeah.
Like, so Lent can be a way of helping you realize your dependencies that are not on God.
Yeah.
And help you redirect and find more dependency on God. It can help you kind of realize the idols that you have, and that in a way is finding some of the sin you have. So sometimes these practices of fasting can help you identify those sins that you need to be grieving and then bringing to God, and making those changes. So
yeah, fantastic.
Lots of really great things that can happen with Lent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you like Shari said, if you have any questions, we'd love to walk with you through those questions. Mm-hmm. We're not going to walk through you. we don't know how to do that. And so, yeah, my email address is listed in the comments. You can feel free to reach out to me. And then you can also find emails for Pastor Shar or Pastor Brad on our website at faithcovenant.org. So if you have any questions, please, please, please let us know. So thank you very much for watching or for listening today. Welcome to this season of Lent. We hope that you find practices for Lent that help draw you closer to God during this season.
Yep.
Thank you so much for watching and listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.